In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Welcome to the second Sunday of Easter. Welcome to Low Sunday. Welcome to Down on Thomas Sunday. It's often called Low Sunday, two Low Sundays a year, the Sunday following Christmas Day and Easter Day, because consistently, there's the lowest attendance of the year. Because of the great celebration Jesus had. So if there was a such thing as extra credit, you have it today. And then, Downy Thomasinism, always on the second Sunday of Easter, the gospel lesson is the story of Downy Thomas, who met with the Lord, but first had expressed a doubt. And in this, Mother Church is very good to us. She knows what of we are made. She knows what we need. She knows what we need to hear. She gives us the story to tell us that, in essence, that doubt is not only a part of faith, it is an integral part of faith. We see in the story of Thomas and other stories that the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is anything, is absolute certainty. Think about it. Those who are radicalized politically or religiously, they are imprisoned by absolute certainty. When you're imprisoned with absolute certainty, you can't hear an opposing opinion, you can't grow, you can't think differently. And cults are full of people seeking absolute certainty, because in a sense it gives them a sense of security and comfort, but it's false security and comfort, because it's built on a house of cards. Mother Church teaches us that doubt is both as painful sometimes as it is, as uncomfortable as it is, as difficult as it is. It is what allows us to grow and to think differently. I call periods of faith our false hill crash phase of faith. Raise your hand if you've seen a live false hill crash. I go to the outskirts of North Carolina and I knew crash. Crowds are fierce creatures. They live and thrive and have their craziness with amazing strength. And you put your finger the wrong way and you'll know. They have claws and they have strong shells. It's hard to conquer the craft. And yet, as they grow, and I forget the scientific name for this, but they shed their shells. And it becomes soft. That's when they grow. The problem is, in these spirits, when also they're vulnerable to other animals, to prey, to human beings who like to eat soft shell crabs. That's how they grow. That's how we grow too. And so today, we come to the story of God and Thomas. We give thanks for the story. Thomas is listed in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which we call the Synoptic Gospel, only have him in the list, right midway down. Only in John. We have a window into the type of man that he was, a window into the soul. And I thank God for this, because I cannot imagine Christianity. I cannot imagine faith without the knowledge of the story of Thomas. In John, we first hear Thomas when, toward the end of our Lord's ministry, when Lazarus was dying. Remember Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And they lived in Bethany, about a mile outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus, we will go to them, but the disciples and others warned Jesus by this time it was dangerous territory because they wanted to arrest Jesus. But it was Thomas who stood up and proved that though he might be skeptical, once he gave his loyalty to his fear, he said, let us go with him that he might die. Later, Jesus survived that visit. Later, and including Mark, giving his last words to his disciples, he called these words the farewell discourse of Jesus. Preparing them for his departure, he gives them the beautiful words that we now call the 14th chapter of John, that we read at funerals, the most popular passage in funerals, and at death bed. And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. And now I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, and you may be also. And you know the place where I'm going. Thomas always said to other people and things, he interrupts Jesus and says, farewell discourse. He says, but you do not know where you're going. What is this about? And he said, what is this about? He says, how can you know the way?
which allowed, when Jesus came up with the famous words of Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. Now, what is it after the resurrection, after the giving of the Holy Spirit, when Thomas and us to look back in hindsight, these words are changing so much, and how we treasure them from that time into this moment. But what Thomas is most famous for is the third account that gave him the great epithet Doubting Thomas. The day of the resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples, the very day, and behind closed doors, and you see my hands, and I see he breathes on in the Holy Spirit, offers him nothing. But Thomas wasn't there. We don't know where he was. So he missed it. See what can happen when you miss a Sunday? He missed it. And I think you can imagine what Thomas got back to. Because he came before, he was near the cross. He touched us, he saw the wound. And Thomas famously said in the chapter, until I see his hand and put my finger in his thigh, I will not believe. Then a week passed. I imagine a week of slight tension in Thomas, between Thomas and other disciples. Finally, Jesus reappears to them all. He goes up to Thomas and said, okay, Thomas, now here my hand, put your finger in my thigh. Do not doubt anymore, but believe. And Thomas responds to the faithful, how many hymns and songs and works of art have been inspired to the place, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus gives him, I think, this quiet but loving rebuke. This is what Thomas blessed with those who never see. He has come. And how that is blessed, how many souls through the generations of the church, people who never had great religious experiences or visions, for they have faithfully believed. Blessed are those who've never seen and yet still believe. But in this story, we have something so beautiful from Thomas. Pope Gregory the Great said, Thomas' lack of faith is more for our faith than all the disciples. He has given us such an answer to what faith really is. And so I think of all the things that Thomas teaches us, the lesson we need to know, that indeed the core, and I speak now both for us as individuals, but also as a church. We have to have this singularly thinking in individualistic terms, but also the corporate line, okay? That Thomas teaches us that at our core, indeed, we are to be firm and strong. The commitment to the creeds and the prayers and the sacraments and the service and the imitation of Jesus, the church needs to be strong. And the phenomenon of this, when we're strong at the core, guess what? Around the edges of our lives, we become soft and malleable and permeable. And we can experience some conflict and questions and quests. And it's a beautiful thing. But the phenomenon is that when we become apathetic and lack at the core, what happens? We become prickly and hardened around the edges, intolerant, intolerant. And so often, sadly, this is the side of the church that people from the outside look real and see. But Thomas encourages us to have faith and with loyalty, what it is to have a brave and courageous and enduring faith, solid at the core, and soft and malleable, approachable around the edges. Must be the life example, the love, the person, the God. Amen. Amen.